This week, we are taking a dive into the spiritual side of Bitcoin with our special guest, Ryan Vera, who is a student of human consciousness, a plant medicine facilitator, and a resident of Bitcoin Jungle in Costa Rica. I'm Scott Deedles. I'm the CEO and founder of Block Rewards, and part of our mission in bringing Bitcoin to the workplace is helping people understand how it will help them. So if you're interested to learn something about how Bitcoin could be triggering a mass transformation of human consciousness, stick around. This one is a dive into the great mystery. All right, welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. We're joined this week by special guest Ryan Vera for a dive into Bitcoin spirituality and consciousness. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It was nice how we crossed paths, you know, not too long ago. One of your dear friends joined us in ceremony, and things aligned, and you were probably the only person I've ever talked to that kind of, you know, had similar ideas about Bitcoin coming from the old world and the energy behind it. So it was really interesting to connect with you. And here we are on the podcast a couple weeks after ceremony and diving into the structures and mechanics and spirituality of Bitcoin in there with Mother Ayahuasca, which has shown me many times. And here we are on the podcast. So I'm happy to be here and happy the listeners are here tuning in at this time.
Maybe for the benefit of our listeners, if you could just give us a little TLDR introduction to yourself. You are an entrepreneur residing in Bitcoin Jungle right now.
3 years ago, when all the lockdowns and craziness happened, we had gone out to Vancouver Island by Couch and Lake and bought a log cabin on 5 acres and kind of was like, hey, this things are happening. We don't agree with it. You know, we don't agree with this overreach and, you know, the consciousness of the collective with this big psyop and all of this. And we went out and we thought, hey, we're going to move to the woods and, you know, grow some food and do all of this. And then we had a insight come in. We need to go somewhere else. And what brought us to Costa Rica was very interesting because we were on our way to Kyrgyzstan. In Kazakhstan and Russia to mine cheap Bitcoin. So we had an opportunity over in Kazakhstan. I think it was 2 to 3 cents to do some immersion mining. We left, we stopped in Costa Rica to find some paperwork so that we could travel freely, you know, through places. And a week into Costa Rica, met a gentleman by chance through people that knew about a wind farm with wind turbines, with 21 of them just shut down because the government wouldn't let them sell power outside of their property. So it's like, okay, this is a good opportunity. Maybe we can mine some Bitcoin there, you know, and pay them for their power because there are really no other way to capture any of that stranded energy and they're off. So we ended up staying in Costa Rica during the lockdowns and craziness. And Costa Rica is one of the places that did not check anything. You know, when you came in, it made you buy insurance for your health, but that's about it. One of the few countries. And we ended up staying 3 years ago. Had our child here at home, and this has become our home, and met a lot of amazing Bitcoiners here that came for the same reason and made good friendships with them. Bitcoin Jungle is here. The payment network is absolutely amazing. You can basically live here 100% off Bitcoin, and you know, it's operating out of Costa Rica. So that's our path on getting to Costa Rica. In regards to my work, I work with natural medicines and master plants for the last decade. You know, I diet very large trees and spirits with the Shipibo and with the Buiti, and I do consciousness mechanics. I teach it. I have a school where I teach consciousness mechanics and structures of soul reality and identity, and work with different medicines to help people get neurogenesis in their mind and understand themselves and all of this. And obviously, a big part of this is Bitcoin. Big part of the systems that we operate are on Bitcoin because of the idea of energy transfer, the idea of protection of our wealth, and the idea of permissionless, trustless technology where we get to hold our own energy. And in an expansive fiat money printing world and taxation world, it's very clear to me that our species is far off from the programming of learning what Bitcoin is, maybe in the energetic sense, in the simple sense, as we call it, Shinan, in the Shipibo. Shinan is the original thought transaction or the source code or consciousness of where something comes from, right? So something might have bad Shinan. And last night I was thinking about this before I came on the podcast. Anything that is built on our monetary system, anything that's built on a fiat system, eventually turns bad, eventually crumbles. It's always like a cat and mouse game. It's always an expansion. Things are getting cheaper. People are putting more poisons in the food. Products are getting cheaper. Look at the architecture of the old world or Taj Mahal or, you know, some of these big, beautiful palaces and you know, Tartaria, as we talked about before. We don't really see that anymore. We see buildings falling apart made of drywall and plastic and all of these things, and debts increasing and mortgages increasing and all of this. So, you know, just tuning into the simplicity of why it's important to hold and transfer energy as a currency of attention and proof of work over time, and having patience for our generations and our species to actually understand the value of that right now. So that's what came up.
You know, what you're talking about there in the terms of thinking about Bitcoin and money as energy transfer, I've been struck by this. The expansion of fiat money is a form of entropy. It's lost energy, and it's that entropy which causes the degradation of everything over time, right? The race to the bottom in terms of quality, because if you're continually forced to try and make more paper, that paper is losing value as you're earning it. It's an inefficient exchange where you're never going to get than output that equals your input.
Yeah, and we're the unconscious beliefs and thoughts around operating on a system that we're not aware of like this, right? We're aware of how it's working, how the changes, how the money printing affected us, how prices go up, things like this. How does that affect our work? How does that affect the Shinan or the idea of us going? You know, are we trying to escape? How many people are trying to make money to find safety or to escape, right? And the mathematical code is right there. You know, I just have to get on Godspeed, which is perfect pace, which is 10-minute blocks, right? So if you get on the Godspeed and you are able to understand Bitcoin, put 100 hours in, 1,000 hours in, and understand what it is, you can actually pace out the expansion by transferring some of the energy to the time chain and locking in a probable future for yourself, where you walk into more energy, more choice, more time. Right. So if you put away, you know, $1,000 today, if you understand Bitcoin, if you actually understand the code, if you looked at it long enough, you know, you can trust it. You know, it's only a matter of time before the Overton window happens, right? Without all of the noise, you're actually locking in a probable future, which takes the energy back, which makes you kind of sit back and not worry so much, that you can transfer some of your work and energy out of a leaking system and hold it in a future timeline that you walk into. And as you walk into this future timeline, you're actually learning and seeing and cleaning the spirit of fiat, you know. And if we look at the Shinan of fiat in the monetary system, who is it run by? Where did it come from? You know, Rothschilds, all of this. What is their Shinan? What is their energy, right? That's what it's all attached to. Every time we spend a dollar, every time we use this money, we might not be conscious of it, but it doesn't end up good. There's no strength in it, right? There's fear, there's safety, there's escape programs. A lot of people want to make a bunch of money so they can escape this system, but there's no escape. And as we see in the sovereign individual, it says wealth in the future won't be measured by how many zeros in your bank account. It'll be the freedom of spend and freedom of movement. And we see all the censorship coming, just like they might have done in the past with burning of the books. Now everything is digital, right? So controlling the narrative over generations, changing Wikipedia, controlling the search algorithms of Google and everything else. And we get accustomed to, like, you know, a lot of people have their businesses on social media and on Instagram. When they post something that's a little bit out of line of the narrative, they get warnings or they get shut down, and it takes, and this subconsciously and algorithmically conditions people over time, you know, and they just kind of passively say, okay, I'm not going to post that. I can't have free speech. And it changes, and this changes through generations. And as we change through generations with this system, it's slowly conditioned through our teachings, through our children, through the next, through our grandchildren, to where it becomes normalized. You know, taxes became normalized. Taxes were brought in for the war, income taxes, and they're still here. they don't make sense, because if you're expanding the monetary system, taxes don't pay for roads or anything. It's a way to control the public and have them force their attention on politics, on the drama, right? So our real currency is actually attention. And what we pour our attention into is what we nourish. And if our attention is on trying to escape this machine, escape the matrix, escape the narratives of what's going on, we're taking our attention away from our work and from our community and from our family. If we are tending our own garden and we're pouring into what we're growing, what weeds we're pulling out, you know, that garden flourishes. But if we're trying to like grow a bunch of food to prepare for the future, or going over to our neighbor's garden and complaining or all of this, we're taking the attention away. So as we start to do our work and as we start to adopt Bitcoin, and as you guys start, you know, you wrote that book and you guys are having this company and the ideas, and you know, when you meet somebody that has been in Bitcoin for a few years and just really gets that orange pill, as they say, their sheen on the frequency is completely different than other people in other crypto projects or fiat projects, right? It's a very self-serving selfishness outside of Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is more so future. It's like looking at a better future. Why? For a family, for a society. And it's a non-violent, non-aggressive way to take our power back from, you know, weak men create strong times, from the unconscious programming that was done through movies, through music, through cartoons, through what we eat and all of this before the internet, passed down through our generations and before that. So it's spiritual. You know, business is spiritual to me. How we share and interact with products and services and partnerships and everything, it's a way that we can share what value we can bring to the world and what energy that we can exchange, what information we can exchange. And if we're using a tool, as you said, that has entropy and is leaking, there's always an underlying energetic there within the business. You know, recently I was picked up by a company in the psychedelic space, and they liked my intellectual property. So I went on one of the big events called Wonderland, the big psychedelic event, and I spoke on stage. And it was very interesting to me because I had always been doing my work behind the scenes, and I never agreed with the big psychedelic industry narratives and everything. And I went on there and I spoke on the stage, and it's all sponsored by pharma. It's all sponsored by, you know, big tech, pharma, Concordia, WEF, all these guys are in there, you know, controlling the narrative of what it is. And the idea of taking medicines and plants, right? And then giving them to the same system that poisons us and takes from us and, you know, creates this connected to this dark Shinon, nothing good can come from that. Right? You go down to the jungle and the Shipibo and everything, you know, it's connected to spirit. And when we look at examples of this in the plants, you know, and how powerful plants are, look at coffee, right? Coffee is a master plant. How does coffee affect our entire species? The minds, the productivity, the thoughts, you know, it's powerful. Look at cocaine, right? Coca. When you remove the spirit of coca and it goes dark and you attach money to it, creates violence, you know, but coca in the jungle is actually a master plant that brings tons of love and light into somebody that diets it. So when we attach and remove the spirit or the source code of something and we attach something to it, eventually the thoughts and transactions and Shinon start to come out in the use of it, because the root of it is disharmonics, right? It's disconnected. So we move to Bitcoin, and the code, what it represents, and the source code and the Shinon on Bitcoin, whatever touches Bitcoin, whatever attaches to Bitcoin, purifies, teaches, upgrades the way that you think about things. You know, this is why I call it a type of dieta. And for those of you that don't know what a master plant dieta is, it's we go to the jungle and we open a contract with a specific plant or a tree, which is supposed to be a teacher and it has a consciousness. Now, these master plants have cured cancer and Parkinson's and all sorts of diseases, but you're not only working with the energetics of the plant, you're working with the intelligence and consciousness of the plant. You open the contract and you need to clean your body. So there's no salt, there's no sugar, there's no red meat, there's no sex, there's no movies, there's no spices, there's no flavors, nothing. And I'm actually in 7 months in on a master tree diet. In the process, what happens is the plant, whether it's depending on what it is, a healing or a learning diet, it goes into the subconscious, stays with you, comes in your dreams. And at the beginning, you start to see the removal of all the little addictions and all the little pieces of noise, and all the things that are in your system. It might be an addiction to chocolate or sugar or salty things or movies or sexual content or violent movies or something like that. We don't see how this affects our thoughts and affects our vision, but all of these things are attached to something. You know, when you chocolate bar, you know, like one you would buy at a convenience store, and you trace that all the way back to the production team and the people in charge of making that. And they get together and they're like, we need to sell a lot of chocolate bars. But if we make these chocolate bars very healthy, if we use 100% cacao, it tastes bad, even though it's healthy for them. So we have to add sugar, we have to add MSG and all these chemicals and products so we can make more money, because the money is expanding and we need to feel safe. We need to get safe. So we need to cheat. So the chocolate bar is put out, the marketing is put out, all the energy is put out to create a narrative. And when you eat this chocolate bar, you're attached to that energetic. And that comes into your subconscious. And it comes into your thoughts and your choices and your vision and everything that you do. So imagine with the dieta, you're removing all of this slowly. Right? You're removing these things from your life, the salt and everything. You don't know. The first month is kind of hard, right? You see things that you didn't even realize, these unconscious little addictions and pulls and harnesses and hooks. Your vision gets cleaner and things get cleaner. And then you notice you start having like sexual dreams and things like this that are cleaning out. Like, wow, like I don't even have to watch porn to get this. Just scrolling on Instagram, just seeing advertisements, just doing all of this. My relationship with my sexual energy, my relationship with my life force is being harnessed into thoughts and narratives which steal my energy. Very much so like the fiat system. So you have these dreams come out and you have these tests in your dream. There'll be like tests where you can sleep with a girl in your dream or eat a fried cookie in your dream. And when you pass the test, if you don't do it because you're practicing, the plant rewards you with knowledge or healing, or it'll come up in the subconscious and clean things out. So you do this for several months and you get rewarded. You get perspective. You see things that you haven't seen before. You learn things you haven't seen before. You learn things about your family, about the patterns, about the things in society, about the collective programming that affects our choices and decisions of being effective in life. And it's quite the process. So as we, you know, clean all these things out, it's not forever. After, you know, after we close the dieta, we can eat meat again. We can enjoy things. And as teacher says, enjoy everything, but don't let anything use you, right? So how many unconscious things are pulling us and directing us and so on? Now, these things have been in our field for a very long time. And I remember when I was born in 1982, came out of the womb, injections, vaccines, pizza pops, Kraft dinner, Spam, whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden I had ADHD. You know, then giving medication. You know, when we feel things, the system gives us medication to numb us, to block us, to keep us from our feedback. So going through this process and then being sick, every time we're sick. And it's common, you know, when you have children, it's common to take your child for checkups all the time. Our child was born at home, luckily, right? And he doesn't have anything, doesn't need checkups. It's an immune system through breast milk and all of that. You know, when we see all these narratives come in, we see formulations come in and all of these things that are coming up in the field, especially around Bitcoin, right? You see Bitcoiners all of a sudden seeing these truths and talking about it. So I see Bitcoin as in a simple term, spiritual terms, very much like the dieta of Bitcoin, right? So as you start to learn Bitcoin, the first things you learn is actually not about Bitcoin. It's about the system you're in, the fiat system. It's the first path of Bitcoin. You're like, I'm going to learn this Bitcoin, so complicated. You actually learn about, hey, I didn't even know money worked like this. Even though banks work like this, even though taxes work like this, residencies or all of these things. And you start going through this process of like unlearning, relearning, and detoxing. And you see your vision starts opening up and you start seeing these things around you of like, this is leading to war. You know, if we're this is leading to poisons and narratives so that we can support the drama of politicians, you know, doing all these things. And then they take our energy. Look here, this event, look at this drama. They're stealing our currency, our energy that we use to nourish things, but we're forced to look at this because we're slaves to the system, because the taxes are there, because the narratives are there, because we need to rely on the medical system and all of these things that make us feel safe, especially in the West, safety, right? When I was down here at the ceremony, they sell lighters here, Bic lighters. Right? They don't have safeties on them. But somebody came from Canada and the Bic lighter had a safety on it. Such a weird feeling to light a mapacho. with that safety feeling. I was like, oh yeah, that's home. You know, that's where I was born, this feeling of safety. And you get rewarded. The more you learn about Bitcoin, the more your vision opens up, the more your understanding opens up, the more you see the system, the more you have perspectives to explore, right? And then it starts removing things. And then your life starts changing. You start looking at value different. You start looking at your time different. You start looking at the unconscious programs that have been programmed in us through sitcoms and movies and Disney and all of that stuff. It's like, hey, this isn't normal. It's not normal. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel aligned. And I've been, you know, numb, unconscious, cold, all these systems around. Not to say this is bad. This is just part of our incarnation here. And imagine getting through this, the amount of knowledge and upshifting in consciousness and awareness that we get from moving through this dieta. So the longer you diet Bitcoin, the longer you use Bitcoin, the longer you learn about Bitcoin, the longer you have more perspectives to see, right? And there's forks and there's changes and there's noise and there's tests, right? And in a diet, there's tests. So you have, you know, things will come into your field, right? Temptations, food. Okay, just once I'll eat that food, right? Or just once I'll look at this sexual picture, or just once I'll watch this violent thing. Your diet knows. It knows, right? And there's things that we do that we unconsciously do, but we don't mean to, you know, because we don't know any better. And then there's things that we know we shouldn't do, but we do because we like it anyways, even though we're going to suffer the consequences of that. So that's the change. And this is where we get into like Bitcoin's core code, even on the legacy, even just its purpose. Just what is its purpose? What is this source code when you look at the open source code? All the narratives of everything, Satoshi, this and that, money, and say, we don't even know. Our children's children's children will have a better idea of the most advanced Bitcoiner today understands the system then, because they're going to go through generational detoxes and learning and pass down knowledge. You know, Bitcoin is only 15. Yeah, it's got another 120 years or something. The diet, I think that's how long it's going to take and generations to take to actually clean this system out of our species. Yeah. So as we get into like the tests, then you have, you know, people coming in and there's crypto, right? You got these crypto coins. And what's the thought there? I missed Bitcoin. Bitcoin's slow. All these narratives come up from people that haven't put time into understanding or dieting Bitcoin, right? They're temptations. You think like, okay, I'm going to buy this coin at this price before everyone else knows because I followed this narrative. And then I'm going to dump it on somebody else when it goes up. They don't care about the coin. They don't care about the technology. It's just not there. Like that's the energy in it. You know, that's the energy that you're applying your attention on, where people get stuck in all the narratives. And there's safety and escape programs there, right? That's where that's the chignon of what you're operating. That's not in Bitcoin because you can't create more Bitcoin. You can't, if you go to war with Bitcoin, it's very expensive. You know, it's like, that is the simple way that I see it as more of an energetic and more of a source code and more of a teacher to our species, a teacher to me, you know, an opportunity to unprogram and learn and have patience with it. 10-minute blocks. Godspeed. We're not being pushed around by anything. Not even the price. The price doesn't even matter, right? One Bitcoin equals one Bitcoin. It's a completely parallel system. What value can you trade for Bitcoin when you can't buy it? You'll have to trade for it. Whatever, you know. It is now a very easy time for the ancient forefathers, which I see us, you know, that our great, 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 great grandchildren were like, oh my God, I'm glad they bought some Bitcoin. It's the easiest time in the world. You study it, you buy it, you understand it, you hold it, pass it down to your grandchildren. And that's it. You know, and then you play with the shit coin called fiat. And that's all you need, right? It's because you already understand that system enough. And as you play with both, you can have abundance in both. You can create value in the fiat system. You can create value in the expansion system. But then you can also explore and learn and pour into your future timelines, your future potentials, right? And if I have this thought experiment that I do. It's like, if I buy Bitcoin from my son and then I lock it up in a future UTXO transaction and send it to my great grandson, you know, 60 years in the future, whatever that may be. And we see what that, you know, cost is going to be to move that UTXO. I don't know. But at the same time, if I write a letter to him with the seed phrase on it that he can open it, is he reading that letter the same time that I'm writing it? Right? Am I changing the future potential in the now of that timeline? That's why it's called time chain, right? And I don't look at time linear. Time is experienced linear through the ego, through the identity. Time is more of a tapestry to me anyways. So my childhood is happening right now. It's just on a different angular rotation, and I can explore that with my imagination and my memory. I can go back there and I can change something there. I can change my perspective of something that might have happened there in the now. And that changes the probability of what choices I'm going to make, what energy I pour into a future potential that I'm going to explore, because life unfolds unpredictably. So with Bitcoin, it's like more advanced than quantum mechanics. You could never understand it all. You can't. Anyone that says they understand Bitcoin, they don't. It's just unraveling, and I've spent time with it in ceremony, going deep into it, you know, and I just like can't even find it there in the quantum spirit world space. There's no end to it. It's just, wow, what a gift. The source code of this is really, really pure. You just need it. And I don't worry about the future because of Bitcoin, because we have that tool. I think it was discovered. I've seen people stream in brilliant ideas, you know? Einstein, you know, took 13 years for them to actually realize, I think 13, 14 years to realize actually just scratch the surface, you know, and all these people we hear about before, Satoshi Nakamoto will probably be looked at as somebody quite great in the future because we can store his work on the time chain, protected from censorship. The books can't be burned, right? So it'll be there. We can hold wisdom on the time chain. Right? We have to figure it out. When our son was born, we had him put on the time chain as a hexadecimal. In the hexadecimal, notice before we signed him with the state. Right? The birth certificate. When you sign a birth certificate for your child, it's considered lost at sea. And you take that certificate and the cargo, weight and height and everything, and you bring it to the state and you sign over an agreement. The state has partial ownership to hold that cargo. And then they take the birth certificate and they borrow against the IMF on the taxes that corpse or corporation in capital letters will pay. This is, you know, admiralty law that we're operating in, and it's a deep rabbit hole. Takes some time. But it's interesting to learn. I think we're really early. Bitcoin's a teenager, right? But it's reincarnated from a place of advancement. It's funny to just explore. It's just fun because we don't know really anything about Satoshi Nakamoto other than what he's written. We don't know. And that's the beauty of the decentralization of it. We have guesses and attacks, and it's open source. It's open book, right? People saying it's CIA, translating it. You know, it's Satoshi Nakamoto. It's like knowledge found within a book. And then people are saying it's central intelligence, like, doesn't matter what you think of it, use it or don't use it. You know, it's like, doesn't care. One of my favorite phrases that I've heard years ago is like, Bitcoin doesn't need you, but you need Bitcoin. It's permissionless. You don't have to use it if you don't want to. There's nobody's forcing you to use it or buy it. You find it when you deserve it, and it's there to study and explore. And if you want to go somewhere else and explore other things and come back, and we have no idea what the world needs right now. None of us. We have a glimpse of what we think it means, right? Tuning in. There's so many programs and noise and separation, disconnection from lineage and wisdom and all that. We're still learning. But at least there's this signal. There's this thing that doesn't change. This powerful, you know, 10-minute block, proof of work. energy transfer system that just keeps going. It doesn't change. It's that base layer that we can always go back to. And I find that will be very valuable in the future, in this noisy world with all the changes and all the things and all the worries and everything, and everyone worried about pricing and stuff. Well, if you bought your house, you know, 5 years ago in Bitcoin, it's a lot more Bitcoin than it would be to buy today. It's just a piece of evidence to look at. I don't have to go into it anymore, crunch numbers or anything. It's just, I noticed that. Interesting. And I don't think Bitcoin's going anywhere anytime soon. It's too late. So it's probably going to accrete attention and value. And it has value now. I use it. You use it. We use it. Right? It doesn't matter if the rest of the world doesn't see it. Because the masses of the people come last. It's really not supposed to go, because if you purchase Bitcoin and you don't understand it, you'll sell it. You know, it's like many people have gone through it. And, you know, like some of the amazing, brilliant Bitcoiners that I've learned from bought it at $1,200 and then rode it all the way down to like 100 and whatever, 80 bucks. You know, it's like, these are the lessons, that the energy that brought you in it was that Shinon or that fiat energy. And as it went down, you had the choice to go down the rabbit hole with it and learn why it's important to hold it or to sell. Two choices, right? So in this process, because it is a rite of passage, because it is a type of dieta, it tests you and challenges you and rewards you for doing the work. And all the people that are holding it, that have done the work, continue to do the work, continue to understand it, continue to bring it to the world and teach people and teach our children and all of that. So I would say it's pretty cool. You know, it's just as it is, as it's a brilliant, unpredictable, organic AI entity or technology or code. You know, I look at it almost like the Matrix, you know, the guy that makes all the keys. I think it's a Matrix too, like the key master. Just like one of those keys, just a code, reversal code. They just streamed in and released in the Matrix. The more you fight it, the stronger it gets.
I love this idea of the dieta as Bitcoin is a teacher at a species level, because it's just such a fascinating parallel and a truth. It's I hope it doesn't take 120 years for humanity's cleaning to occur. But yeah, as you talk, you know, you can't help but think about all of the problems downstream from fiat that need to be cleaned, that really are just fundamental, sort of like things we do every day without any real conscious thought about them, things that need to go. You know, like our Western world for sure is a picture of a downward trend that if it continues on this path, it's just not a very exciting thing. And I agree with you completely. Like, you're my reason for hope, and the reason why I do all this stuff is because of the promise that we can fix this thing by changing the way people have the relationship with the money they use.
Yeah. Like leaving this place better than when we got here. And obviously, like being born in the system, we had our own rite of passages. We had our own time with fiat. We had our own lessons, right? For some reason, we kind of found the signal of Bitcoin because that seemed to be more important to us. And, you know, being a father, it's like, if I can teach my child best I can, I can do best I can. I can't change the entire world. I'm not here to change the world. You know, but I can hold the medicine, and I can hold the knowledge, and I can hold teaching, and I can pass it down, or I can share it, share the medicine, learn, do my best, you know, live an effective life, bring that to my family, my community, and my work. And if I can do that, I can expect it from others. If they come over to my garden and say, hey, how'd you do that? I can show them, right? And that might take some time. And there's always a reference of Bitcoin is the lifeboat. what does it look like in the future when, you know, I had a friend that just sold his house in Canada. And every time he makes a transaction, they call him. Fraud, what's this? What are you doing? You know, that brings fear into you. Where did that idea come from? That we work, we stream creativity and consciousness here. And we have to ask to spend our time and energy and our work and tell people what it is and have that fear over it. And then the safety thing's bullshit. Obviously, there's fraud and everything. But I'm also a proponent in not full form, but like you got to be responsible for your own choices. You have to be responsible for everything you create in life. And that's the type of people we want, right? If somebody steals something or your seed phrase or your money, you have to take some responsibility for that and not play the victim. Because there were unconscious choices and programs and all of those things that you did that brought you to that event to happen. You know, where is our species going and what are we teaching our children if we're giving our power away and playing the victim and asking for safety from the same system that takes from us and poisons us and everything? So, I mean, Bitcoin is, it's a teacher. It is a lifeboat, I guess, you know, like CBDCs and all of the things in the future and agendas and what happened a few years ago. Like, I only had to see that once, man. Yeah. Like, it's just weird how they do it. They'll roll out these big agendas and narratives and then they'll calm it down. Everyone's like, oh, good, it's over. And they just forget. And then they keep throwing narratives. This and that. I don't forget. It was a gift. It was a wake up. It was a beautiful thing. It brought me to a point of what I'm doing now. It brought, you know, me to meet people like yourself and other Bitcoiners and other people that don't quite understand Bitcoin, but they were there coming along to understand it, that mean well. It's bringing us together. And this creates like us to share things and share knowledge and share networks. And it's, I don't know, I have patience with it all. Taking away my expectations and my ability to, you know, affect a certain amount of people. You know, smiling at somebody instead of not smiling at somebody changes their day. Right? So it's all about our inner world. You know, if we have all of this programming, man, like if Bitcoiners made a cartoon, it probably wouldn't have programming in it. Like, or movies, like it wouldn't have these programming in it. Why? What would be the benefit? You know, it's like the system wants us sick and tired and confused. I don't see any evidence other than that. And some people do well. Like I'm fine in this system. It doesn't affect me negatively. I don't walk around like, oh no, the world is out to get me, or all these agendas are happening, or CBDCs are coming in, or, you know, fight the system. I hate it. I'm going to fight these guys and destroy it. I'm going to see it and notice it and then take my attention and build my path. I'm going to pour my energy into the projects I'm working on or the things I'm working on or my children or this, right? Like, don't have to be scared of everything. It's good to notice it. It's good to notice like the animal that it is, right? So we don't get caught up in it. If we give it too much attention, we get caught up. It doesn't matter if we fight it. If we fight it, we become it. You know, if we fight it, we get entangled in it sucking the energy from us. So it's really practice, you know, of building a relationship with energy, building a relationship with money, building a relationship with yourself, with your mind. And how do you do that? You need to know it better. Spend time with it. You listen, you sense, you observe. Right? Like picking up a stray dog.
I personally try to avoid these kinds of ideas around, you know, Bitcoin is a weapon or Bitcoin is a wrecking ball for the old system. And the energetics of that thought train on its own for me just never really feel right. Like I understand how people who understand Bitcoin can still arrive at that position because it's a different way of processing maybe some of the frustration that comes along with, like you said, that the first part of the Bitcoin journey is really grasping how we got here. And not everyone, you know, comes out of that stage one in the same place. But yeah, it's an oasis. It's a thing on its own. And even this comparison to a plant, you know, like Bitcoin is in my mind, has a lot more in common with a plant species than, you know, an apex predator. It's not a tiger. It's a tree.
Mycelium. You know, Bitcoin is the mycelium money. What an article. You know, Brad and Quinn. Yeah, you guys read that. He compares it to mycelial network. Have you read that?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely brilliant. You know, it's like, I don't know, Bitcoin. Yeah, as you say, it's interesting as the dieta because, like, obviously, when you see the truth, you get angry, right? And we're taught when we're angry from young not to deal with the anger in a certain way, and we project it out at the enemy. We become the victim, right? So it's victim. When we're fighting things like that as a result of being unconscious, not knowing, we're giving our power away. And all that energy of fighting it could just go into making something of value and buying Bitcoin. Being patient, studying it, trusting it. You know, if you have more awareness, you can sense things and move and adjust and listen to the guidance. You know, it's like cause and effect. And this is why I think it's going to take a little bit for our species. Because if they just shut off the machine now, maybe sooner, but they're turning up that machine. They're turning up the noise in the machine, you know, and there's all these distractions and temptations around. And they're pretty good, pretty damn good. The narratives, some of the narratives are just good, man.
I think about it, it's like we're living in this time of the accelerating compression of the experience of time. So, you know, we used to watch programs. We used to actually watch through commercials when we would watch TV, you know, and, you know, then people would start recording programs and you'd fast forward them. Like there was a genuine sense of time moving more slowly, and as you know, social media has evolved, you know, compressed down to an Instagram reel, and then I say this all the time, but then to a TikTok, and on TikTok it's like if you haven't captured someone's attention in 3 seconds, they're going to swipe to the next thing. So it's like this, while Bitcoin forces people to adapt to its time, to its beating like pulse of the 10-minute blocks. That's happening in one reality, while simultaneously everything else, the fiat world, is ramping up the devaluation of your time by stealing more and more of it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's a timeline split. And both timelines are operating simultaneously. And how you change the timeline is just your choices and attention. Yeah. And like, again, going back to the algorithms of social media and, you know, wanting to work online. So you have more freedom to move around and live in different places. And, you know, you have to follow that algorithm. But it's interesting when I don't follow that algorithm, it's very interesting because like when you change your work to follow the algorithm, you also bring in what change your work has asked for. But if you kind of hold it down and do your own algorithm, if you do like a long video that doesn't get very many views, the people that watch it are actually the people that are interested in it. You know, it's less people. It's like, it works both ways. It's just you. It's just I. It's just like what the program is. And it's always the individual. It's always the operator. And, you know, this is a plant, master plant dieta. It's a relationship that you build with the master plant. Giving your power away. It's not taking. I do not use the word or like the word psychedelic. You know, that's a Western word. No. In the jungle and the people that are protected, the master plans treat them like people and spirits. They talk to them. They treat them like relatives and get gifts from them and relationships. And it's pretty beautiful to see that relationship with it. And when you enter the contract, it's co-creative. You don't just give all your power away. Say, hey, mushroom god or plant god saved me. It's none of that. You don't want to do that. It's our relationship with our phone. The phone's not bad. You and I kind of cross paths on a phone, on social media, through friendships. You know, like it's great for communication. even though it has these algorithms, we have to interact with it unconsciously or consciously. So we can actually turn these tools into our empowerment if we're aware of how they work and our relationship to it. And it really doesn't mean like, I don't know, for me, it doesn't mean like keeping something away from me, like not getting on your phone at certain times or keeping it away for certain times. To me personally, that feels like a forced boundary, but rather just being aware when you're on the phone and why you're using it. And just also realize this is a cause and effect world. If you stay on your phone too much and waste time, that's time you take away from your productivity in life. It's going to fix itself anyways. And then when you build a better relationship and have a better schedule with the phone, you'll notice that things improve in your field of reality and in your life. And I think that's more of an empowered way to meet anything or any relationship. It's taking responsibility for what you do and trusting that the law of consequence in this field of reality will reflect back everything you need to see to adjust. We're no victims here.
Which is the core of the ethos of personal responsibility, a Bitcoin, a core tenet of Bitcoin culture.
Yeah, like holding your own keys. You know, it's scary for people because they just trust the bank. It's empowering, right? And I had a discussion with a friend before. It's like, if you acquire Bitcoin and you have the seed memorized, right? What's the difference in energetics and consciousness than that particular connection to Bitcoin and you? It's only in your head. It only exists in your consciousness now. It's just these fascinating things to think about when we dive into the world. Just a rabbit hole of things. But in order for this realm to get better, we need to take responsibility. And holding your own time and energy and money, pretty good teacher. What if I lose it? What if I get stolen? What if, think about that. When you're a child, if you want to hide a toy or a rock or something, you get pretty creative, you know? You got a piece of gold and you want to hide it, you get pretty creative because you are looking at it. You're understanding it. You understand its value. And the more you understand Bitcoin, the easier it is to hold it properly, because you understand what it is. You wouldn't leave your diamond ring or something out on a counter somewhere, floppy piece of paper, right?
Brian, I feel like we could do this for hours, but maybe this is the right time to press pause for this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I really appreciate you sharing your perspectives and insights, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. We will include some links in the show, but for people who are interested to find more of you, is there somewhere specifically you would like us to send them?
Yeah, I got a website, sourcecodes.xyz. And a lot of my teachings are there. And then I have a free community where we dive into learning more about master plans and consciousness, and creator mechanics, structures like this. So welcome to join.
All right. Well, thank you again. And if you were listening and you made it all the way to the end of the episode, I want to thank you as well for tuning in, and hope to see you again next week.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits, supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies, and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Special thanks to our top sponsor, Paramount Employee Benefits Consulting, Canada's only Bitcoin-forward benefits and pension advisory. For more information, find them at paramountbenefits.ca. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and BMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.